I mean, you lift us up when we need to be exalted. Father, you are so amazing, so wonderful. Father, I just thank you that because of your grace and your mercy, Father, we can indeed be born again. In Jesus' name I pray.
Amen.
I'm going to be in John, the third chapter. Jesus is meeting with a man here called Nicodemus. And Nicodemus comes to Jesus, and he comes to him with a question, but we see that Jesus sees what Nicodemus really needs and meets those needs. Let me read to you, starting in the first verse of John, the third chapter. Verse 1, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man could do the miracles that thou doest except God be with him. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? And Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born from the flesh is flesh. That which is born from the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I say unto thee, you must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but cannot tell whence it comes and whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. You know, I saw a YouTube little cartoon on there, and a little girl was talking to her mom, and her mom asked her little girl, What do you want to be when you grow up? She said, I want to be a grandma. There is a special relationship between grandparents and grandkids. It's a special relationship. Let me make this perfectly clear. God has no grandkids. God only has children. Jesus is talking about here in this scripture, and he's saying, you must be born again. And by being born again, then you inherit all the things that God promises as children. We become adopted into his family. Just like when we're born through the flesh, we're part of a family. Once we become born again, we're part of the family of God. When I was growing up, I had many examples of people with great faith. Yeah, I grew up in a house where my grandmother lived in that house. She was a woman of great faith. She did amazing things and believed so much that it inspired me. I grew up with my parents who were people of great faith. I grew up in a church where people had great faith. And because of all this faith that I saw, I assumed that their faith would be my faith. Jesus says, you must choose yourself. Their faith can't be mine. They can't be faithful for me. Only I can do that. I have to make that choice. You have to make that choice. You can't go on someone else's faith. You can pattern your journey of faith after other people, but they can't make that journey for you. They can't make that commitment for you. You must make that commitment. Jesus says, you must be born again. That's a commitment that you must make. That's a choice that you must make. I don't care how many people around you have great faith, that doesn't save you. You have to make that choice. You have to make that commitment. Your parents can't do it. Your pastor can't do it. Your spouse can't do it. Nobody can do it. You have to make the choice to trust Jesus Christ. That is something that hinges on our Christian faith. That's one of the requirements of our faith, that we must stand and make a choice when it comes to Christianity. So Jesus says here, you must be born again. So what is this new birth that Jesus was talking about? I mean, everything has to start somewhere, right? It has to begin someplace. Birth is where that begins. Your life begins at birth. I read a cartoon about a little boy who came in and asked his mom, where did I come from? She said, you need to go talk to your dad about that. Little boy went to his dad and said, where did I come from? And the father sat down with the little boy and gave him the birds and the bees story, explained everything to him. He said, man, that's tough because Tommy came from New Jersey. See, sometimes we need to clarify what we're really asking about. But, you know, we all have to understand, we started from someplace.
Amen.
We all had a beginning. Our life began. Jesus says, to be alive in this world, you must be born. To inherit the kingdom of God, you must be born from the Spirit. Jesus, when Jesus talks about it, he's talking about two different births. Nicodemus tried to confuse that situation, but Jesus was talking, and he said, one is flesh and one is spirit. Jesus said, that which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the spirit is spirit. Once you are born again, you have that father-child relationship with God. Our relationship with God has been broken because of our sin. It's been broken so severely that it's impossible to fix it by human repair. We cannot repair our relationship between us and God by ourselves. That's why God sent Jesus Christ, so Jesus could fix what we destroyed. When Adam and Eve were born, and God created them, they had this beautiful relationship, this unbroken relationship between them and God. It was unbroken, but they, by deliberate choice, chose to be disobedient, and it broke that relationship. That relationship was severed because they chose to be disobedient and made a choice that separated them from God. And one of the saddest things in all of Scripture, actually, but the third chapter of Genesis, when God is expelling Adam and Eve out of the garden, naked, ashamed, the reverse standard version says that he drove them out. They were out of the garden. They were outside that relationship that God had established. And we are outside that relationship with God as well. When we are born, we're born with sin. We have that sin in us when we're born. And so we have this broken relationship with God. The only thing that can restore that relationship is the grace of God. We can't fix that relationship. That's why he had to send Jesus. Our relationship with God is restored because of his grace and his mercy. In another setting, Jesus is saying the same thing that he's saying to Nicodemus here over in Matthew, the 18th chapter, the 3rd verse. It says, "Except ye be converted and become as a little child, you shall not enter the kingdom of God." And Jesus is saying, you have to have that father-child relationship with God. You have to have that relationship where you're the child and God is the Father. And it says in here, at that scripture, it says, except ye be what? Converted, changed, made new. That's what this born again is. That's what it means to be born again. You're changed, you're made new. There's a word in the English language. It's called metamorphosis. It's when, like a caterpillar crawling on the ground and in the dirt and crawling on leaves and stuff. And then there's a miracle. Nature happens where their skin breaks open, and from that caterpillar turns this fragile and beautiful monarch, butterfly. That's what it means to be born again. We are changed from what we were to what God intended us to be. That's what that new birth is. We change from what we were to what God wants us to be. That's what the new birth is like. And the scriptures make it very clear, unless you have experienced this new birth, you cannot see the kingdom of God. So who needs this birth? I think everybody understands. Look who he's talking to here. Jesus is talking to a man called Nicodemus. You have to understand who he was. He was a Pharisee. He was a scholar. Can assume he was probably an older man. It says in the scriptures, how can someone who is old go back into the mother's womb? But, you know, we don't know exactly how old he is, but we can assume that he was cultured, refined. He was a decent man. He was a religious man. And he goes up to the house where Jesus is, and he knocks on the door. And Jesus opens the door and he's face to face with the Savior of the world. And Nicodemus is standing there. And Jesus answered the question before he asked it. Wasn't the question that Nicodemus had to ask him, but it was the question that Nicodemus needed to find the answer for. Jesus said to him, "You must be born again." He didn't say to Nicodemus, I know what your trouble is. You're not an honest person. Or Nicodemus, I know what the problem is, that you're not keeping the Sabbath. Nicodemus, I know what the problem is. You're not treating your wife the way you should. You're not doing this. You're not doing that. And that's not what Jesus said to him, because Nicodemus would have said to him, I don't do any of those things. That's not who I am. I keep all those things. He was a good guy. But Jesus says, you're doctoring the outside. You need to doctor the inside. You need to know, if you really want to know how to inherit eternal life, you need to fix the inside. It's not what's on the outside. You can never be good enough on the outside. As good as this guy, Jesus wasn't talking to somebody here who was an outcast. He wasn't talking to somebody here who had wasted all of his money with righteous living. He's not someone who had done all these terrible things. He was a refined, decent man. But Jesus said to him, you have to be born again. Everybody has to be born again. You cannot be good enough to earn your salvation. I think, try to make it clear each time that we have a chance to let you know your goodness is like filthy rags to God. We talked about it in Sunday school today. We can't be good enough to deserve God's love for us. We can't be. Sin is falling short of the glory of God. Mm-hmm. Sin is searching for this self-glory and security in ourselves. Sin is trying to live our life as if we're not dependent on God. Sin is convincing ourselves that we can be good enough to gain the approval of a righteous and perfect God. We can't do that. Sin is, that's what sin is. Who needs this new birth? Anybody, everybody who has not accepted forgiveness for their sin by God's grace. That's who needs this new birth. Anybody who has not turned to God and asked for forgiveness and accepted Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. Anybody. That doesn't matter how good you are or how bad you are. Mm-hmm. You have to have that new birth. So how are we born again? The scripture says the wind blows where it wills and the You may hear the sound of it, but you don't know from whence it comes and whether it goes. So it is with everyone who is born from the Spirit. Everybody receives his new birth in different ways, some in different ages. But there are some things that we have to do to make the Spirit move. The first thing we have to do is repent. We have to agree with God that we are sinners. We have to understand that we want to turn from our sin. We need to have this desire to turn away from our sins and our own efforts at saving ourselves. The first thing we have to do is repent. Secondly, we have to admit our need for Jesus Christ. And we have to accept His forgiveness. His forgiveness is offered. But we must accept that. God never forces forgiveness on us. We have to make that choice. We have to decide to accept that forgiveness. And then we have to, of course, make Jesus Christ, invite Him into our lives, to make Him, to make a willful decision to make Him our Lord and Savior, and to worship and honor Him and Him alone. We have to make that choice that we talked about. We have to make that decision. We have to make that commitment to receive the Holy Spirit into us and to be born again. We have to remember who Jesus is. We need to remember when we're coming to that crossroads in our life, when we're going to make that decision. Some make it at a very early age. Some make it late in life. When you come to that decision and you say, I'm going to make this decision to invite Jesus into my life. I'm going to be born again by the Spirit. I'm going to repent from my sins. I'm going to accept Christ's forgiveness. I'm going to make a choice to follow Him. We need to remember who Jesus is. We need to remember what Jesus did. Because of what He did, and because of who He is, we have that chance to receive the forgiveness that God is talking about in these scriptures here. Nothing, I think, pictures this relationship between us and God more than the story of the prodigal son. I know Tim, just a couple of weeks ago, told us that story of the prodigal son. What is so great about the prodigal son is that when he came home, the father forgave him as if he had never lived. He received him as if he had never left. That's the relationship God has with us. When we come to God and receive Christ into our lives, He forgives us as if we had never lived.
That's right.
That relationship was broken. It was so broken. And we didn't have that father-son relationship, but when we accept Jesus Christ, when we receive His forgiveness, that relationship is mended.
Amen. Amen.
That relationship is bonded. That relationship is forever. Your physical birth doesn't last forever.
Nope.
You were born, there's a beginning and an end to that. We're born one day and we're going to die another. That's the way it is. But with our spiritual birth, we have eternal life.
Amen.
Never ending.
Amen.
Never ending. We're with Jesus Christ from the moment we accept Him forever. It doesn't have an end. We can't think of anything that doesn't end. Because I don't know of anything that doesn't end. Everything seems to have a beginning and an end. But God's love, God's grace, our eternal life has no end.
Amen. We may be taken in love in our salvation process.
That's right. Once we accept Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, we have a new birth. We've been born again. And it's a birth that lasts forever. We still mess up. Don't get me wrong. Once you accept this new birth, we don't become perfect. There's nobody perfect. Remember, I talked last week about how, or several weeks ago, I talked about how Jesus puts these restrictions on us, how He makes us expect so much out of us. In fact, He says we have to be perfect as our Heavenly Father is perfect, and we all fall short of that. But that means we're all in the same boat. We're all sinners that need to be saved by grace. There's nobody here that's going to be able to save you other than Jesus Christ. You can't save yourself. I can't save you. Your spouse can't save you. Other people's faith can pray for you and try to lift you up, but they can't save you. Nobody can save your soul but submitting yourself to the God that sent His Son to die for you. The Scriptures say you must be born again. That's what Jesus says. And in response to that, we have to make a choice. We have to make a decision. And until we make that decision, that relationship is broken. It's shattered. Now, God still loves you, but this relationship between a father and his son, or a father and a daughter, is broken because of what you did, not because of what God did, but because of your sin. My prayer is today that nobody leaves here today with a broken relationship, that we all experience this new birth, this eternal birth, this eternal life. Amen. That's right.
Mm-hmm.
Heavenly Father, as we come to you today, we see, as you explained to Nicodemus, Father, that we must all be born again. Not only are we born from the flesh, but we have to be born in the Spirit too, Father. We have to receive what it is you have for us. And Father, we have to do it. We have to make the choice ourselves. We have to do it ourselves. We have to make the commitment ourselves. And Father, as we go through life, and we try to do all the good things that we can do, it won't matter, Father, if we haven't received your grace and your mercy and forgiveness for the sins that we have. Father, we want to mend any broken relationship here today, Father. We want any relationship that's broken here today, Father, to be mended. And we can't do it, but we can turn to you. And by your grace and your mercy, you will let us come back home as if we had never left. And Father, we thank you for that. Father, I thank you for this group of people that have been here today. Father, I thank you that Kurt was here to visit with us today. Father, I just speak blessings on everybody here, Father. May we grow in our relationship with you as we become closer and closer to the Father, Father, that we can have this intimate father-son, father-daughter relationship that only you can establish. Father, thank you that your love for us is so great. Regardless of how we treat you, Father, you still love us so much and forgive us. And we ask for it, Father, and I just come to you right now. Ask for forgiveness of the things that we've done, Father. Ask that you receive us as your child, Father. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen.